Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alien righteousness? Yes! Aliens from outer space? Not so much. This is Wretched Radio. UFOs, extraterrestrial beings, it's all the rage these days, including in Washington, D.C. A headline, Close Encounters, Democrats and Republicans Unified in Taking UFOs Seriously. Now, that was the report that happened in May. June, the government released a report that said, no, I know there's been all kinds of talk about sightings of unidentified flying objects and even the military releasing video footage. So the government did what the government does, and that is spent a fortune studying the subject. And they concluded, the government report says, visitors aren't from space. Headline from the New York Times. Government report finds no evidence UFOs were alien spacecraft. Now, you would think then the subject would be closed. You would be wrong. I just Googled UFO government report. NBC News. This is my top story. Truth embargo. UFOs are suddenly all the talk in Washington. Headline. Government UFO report says visitors aren't from space. Can we be sure? And then the UFO experts debate the report. Is the government telling the truth? After all, we did fake the moon landing, right? Or something like that. Even though the government has said, no, there's no connection to space aliens here. The unidentified flying objects are just that. They're unidentified. That's why we call them that. Why do we import a UFO? Has to be a spaceship that Kazoo used to get to the Earth in order to help Fred Flintstone. The answer is, it seems that we like it. We like it a lot, especially the world. Why does it seem NASA is bent on finding life on other planets, which we have not? It is because they then can use that in support, scientifically they would say, to support evolutionary theory. You see, if there's the means for life to exist on another planet, it could have, how did water happen? Huh? That came together, and life comes out of water, don't you know? Therefore, there's life on Mars. No, no, there isn't. They haven't found an iota of evidence to suggest there is life, but they keep searching. They keep looking. They keep exploring. They spend billions of dollars. Why? We need to remember that there is one object in this universe that unifies everybody in animosity, and that is Jesus Christ. Anything that we can use to denounce Jesus, to war against Jesus, we will take it because the world hates Jesus. They hate him. I know all of the people will say, well, no, man, he was a really good teacher. The Bible says you hate him. You're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works. You don't love, if you're not for him, you're against him. And so it is, the world continues to look for extraterrestrial life. They also continue to work for the vehicles that bring it here. And that includes a lot of Christians. How long has this been going on? This article that I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers was written December 5th, almost a day that will live in infamy, 2007. Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. Headline, do I believe in UFOs? Absolutely. Why? Because they're unidentified flying objects. He writes about a friend of his, Dr. Clifford Wilson, author of the million-copy bestseller, Crash, Go the Chariots. did a lot of research on UFOs. He once told me that he concluded that by far the majority were either misunderstood natural phenomena or misinterpreted man-made objects. He did conclude there was a very small percentage that couldn't be explained, and he allowed the possibility of some supernatural origin, but he attributed it to evil, supernatural origin. There are some things that you cannot explain. By the way, when you hear the history of UFO support, it doesn't seem to be as substantive as some people like to think that it is. Even so, there are videos out there that show stuff that nobody can figure out. Okay, how do you translate that? It's something that appeared on a radar. It's something that a Navy ship in the Arabian Gulf once saw, something that was going across the screen really fast. What was it? Answer, I don't know. But the answer cannot be imported into the question. We just assume that unidentified flying objects have to be manned. They have to come from somewhere because we don't have that kind of stuff. Why do we do that? How's about this? We saw something on our radar, and here's what that means. That your cell phone can misfire and give you a brain tumor. Why not? I'm just assuming something. Of course I am. But that's what people do with UFOs. They assume that something that can't be explained must be from outer space. Ken Ham, during the 6 days of creation in Genesis 1. I'm shocked he'd go to Genesis. During the 6 days of creation in Genesis 1, we learn that God created the earth first. On day four, he made the sun and the moon for the earth, and then he made the stars also. What does that have to do with the price of tea in Texas on a Tuesday? It indicates that the earth is a special thing, that it is the primary focus of God's attention based on order. That's something that we don't tend to notice in our culture, that order means something in Greek and in Hebrew. You do the lesser to the greater or the greater to the lesser. It's never just anything. And they have rules about that that we don't tend to observe. Ken Ham, it would seem that the earth is very special. It is center stage. Everything else was made for purposes relating to earth. For instance, the sun, moon, and stars were made for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Of whom? Human beings, the cream of the creative crop, on the planet that appears to be the primary attention of God. That's telling. Other passages single out the earth as being special, made for humans to dwell on, such as Isaiah 66:1, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Oh, the earth is a footstool. That's gross. No other planet gets that privilege of having God's attention. It's not that God has feet or a stool to hoist them on. This is the place where he does work. This is the place where he does things. That's the meaning of the passage, because this is a special place. Such verses certainly imply that the earth is to be considered separate and special when compared to the rest of the place. So, they suggest that the earth alone was created for life. So far, based on man's limited exploration of space, and it is limited, this certainly holds true. Now, here's the problem. If there are intelligent beings on other planets, then they would have been affected by the Earth, specifically two people, specifically located in a garden. Adam and Eve would have caused the fall to take effect on Pluto 7, sub-B4. Everything in the universe feels the effect of the fall, and that would go for aliens, too. These beings would have to die because death was the penalty for sin. One day their planet will be destroyed by fire during God's final judgment, but they cannot have salvation because the blessing is given only to human beings. You have a God-man because you need a God-man. You need God to be your sacrifice, to appease the wrath of God, to pay your sin debt against an infinite, holy, holy, holy God. But you also need a man as a representative. Note, Jesus didn't come as an angel. Read the book of Hebrews. That'll remind you that angels ain't nothing compared to Jesus Christ. He came as a man because we need a man representative. Ken Ham writes, when Jesus stepped into history, he became the God-man. The Bible calls him the last Adam, the second man. There is no other Savior, only Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't become a God Klingon, a God Vulcan. Fascinating. Or a God Kardashian. I don't know why he threw that in there. He became the God-man. It wouldn't make much sense theologically for there to be other intelligent physical beings who suffer because of Adam's sin but cannot be saved. That alone should cause the Christian to go, all right, I've been kind of entertaining this UFO idea. The Bible straightens out our thinking and helps us to understand, no, based on these things alone, it doesn't make sense. It can't make sense, and it goes against the flow of the narrative of Scripture that Earth is a very special place, and yet there are those who would say, but aha, we have scientific evidence. Ken Ham would say, uh-huh, because that's how Ken Ham talks with that Australian accent of his. What about that UFO evidence? Next on Wretched Radio. Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Like a lot of believers, you may be wondering how you can incorporate heartfelt worship into your private devotion times. Well, I want to introduce you to the newest resource available in the Wretched Store. It's called Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship, and it's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Face to Face is perfect for anybody who wants to get more personal and more intimate in their private times with the Lord. And what better way to do that than actually praying God's Word back to Him? Face to Face will walk you through an accurate and biblical and intimate approach to doing just that. With prayers like, let me hear your unfailing love in the morning, for I have put my trust in you, show me the way I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Prayers like these will bring richness to your devotion times by connecting God's Word to your personal prayer time, and you'll learn to approach both in a new and meaningful way. Visit wretched.org/face to pick up your copy right now. wretched.org/face.
You are one of those people who considers long and hard to whom you're going to give your discretionary funds. Don't blame you for that. Would like to let you know, if you are considering preborn.org, that they are a holistic ministry. Not like Whole Foods, not all hippy-dippy. I mean, they're well-rounded. Not only ultrasounds for women who are considering abortions, which 80% of the time save the child's life, they do that. They also counsel the mommies, help them to become good mommies. They provide clothing. They provide diapers. They provide baby food. And if that isn't holistic enough, they counsel the dads, because 84% of the time dads are involved, boyfriends are involved with the abortion. They're pressuring the women. And Preborn teaches them how to be men who can be good dads. Sound holistic enough? Preborn.org. Preborn.org.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving His people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, I am the Lord your God,
who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All actually means all. This is Wretched Radio. All of creation fell in Adam. All of it. What is creation? It's the entire everything. It is not just the planet. It's not just human beings. It's animals and plants, of course, that also feel the effect of the fall. But it is our environment. It's the air we breathe. It is the sky and all the planets contained therein, in this galaxy and in every other galaxy. Why? Because all means all. What does that dictionary lesson have to do with UFOs, Jimmy? You yes. just mentioned to me that there are people who would say, despite the fact that the Bible points to the earth being a special place, that the effect of the fall from Adam, it affects everybody and everything, which would mean aliens, which means they don't have a savior because Jesus is a God-man. Therefore, there are no such thing as UFOs and aliens. You said...
That's your opinion.
Oh, yeah, there's always that.
No, these other planets and galaxies, they have their own creation order. They have their own they have their own fall. They have their own Bible. They have their own savior.
I see, except for the fact that the word all means all.
There's that.
This and which, by the way, is a pointer to the precious nature of the planet that we live on. That the earth, the activity of two people noshing on a Honeycrisp apple would cause the entire universe to feel the effect of the fall. This is why stars burn out. This is why other planets are so downright nasty. The fall affected everything. And there can't be another savior on another planet. Wouldn't it seem to you that God might disclose that to us? Hey, trust us on this. It works because Jesus did become a God Klingon, and we've saved Spock and his family. So this is solid, this Christian thing. Of course, that's not the case. And yet there are people who would say there's some evidence for it. Let's take a look at UFO sightings. The Roswell incident. I know that this is a cursory explanation of what happened, but I'm going to use it anyway. Military officials checked out debris from a supposed UFO crash outside of Roswell. That would be in New Mexico, if you didn't study geometry. The government initially announced that they had captured a flying saucer. A few hours later, it was a weather balloon. Washington, D.C. sightings, July 1952. One of the largest number of reported sightings in the hundreds occurred in D.C. According to reports, the blips on the radar were traveling close to 100 miles per hour and could gain speeds up to 7,200 miles per hour. That's moving. Officials said these sightings were a result of temperature inversions, which caused ground lights to bounce from the clouds and give the appearance of lighted objects in the sky. They're unidentified until we identify them and figure them out. And each time, we've determined it wasn't a spaceship. It was a natural event. It could be a malfunction of the radar. And in this instance, I don't want to get all physics-y on you, but there was the ground lights bounced from temperature inversions from the clouds to give the appearance of lighted objects. You know, the old temperature inversion business. Who didn't love that subject in high school? What about the swamp gas sightings? October 1966, local officials reported fast-moving, disc-shaped objects in southeastern Michigan. A UFO expert investigated the sighting and said it is swamp gas. More natural phenomena. You've got the Phoenix Lights, March 13th, 1997. Thousands of eyewitnesses said there's a UFO flying over Phoenix called the Phoenix Lights. Witnessed in at least five other cities, but an investigation by U.S. Air Force personnel said the UFOs were a result of flares being dropped from an A-10 Warthog. Turkey from 2007 to 2009. Strange objects in the Sea of Marmara. At this moment, not exactly sure, but it's just a matter of time. Figure it out. Because it's unidentified, it doesn't mean that it is a manned alien spaceship. Perhaps this will help. This is from gotquestions.org. Are there such things as aliens or UFOs? One, men have sent spacecraft to nearly every planet in our solar system. After observing these planets, we've ruled all but Mars as a possibility. A moon of Jupiter is another one as being able to support life. That's imagined, not proven. And we don't have that life. And if we do stumble onto a microbe, first of all, I'd be skeptical. Second of all, that ain't an intelligent being. And by the way, why is it that we just assume that aliens would be smarter than we are and able to enter into our atmosphere? And why aren't they, what are they doing? What's the point of this? Why are they zipping across the radars on naval ships? What are they trying to, are they trying to hide? They're setting something up. They are trying to tear down the country. They're trying to make us communists. What are they doing? Number two, in 1976, the USA sent two landers to Mars. Each had instruments that could dig into the Earth for signs of life. They found zip. In 1997, the USA sent Pathfinder to the surface of Mars. This rover took more samples, conducted more experiments. It found absolutely no signs of life. Since that time, several more missions to Mars have been launched. The results have always been the same. Nothing. Yes, there are many strange and unexplainable things that take place. There is no reason, though, to attribute these phenomena to aliens or UFOs. If there is a discernible cause to these supposed events, it is likely to be spiritual, and more specifically, demonic. But you say 60 Minutes did a report on this. Yeah. About that 60 Minutes special, this was a review from, I'm like J.D. Sumner in the Stamps Quartet. This is the Coast, the Lost CoastOutpost.com. Bill Whitaker interviewed Luis Elizondo for the 60 Minutes report that got everybody's hackles up about the UFO. Supposedly, Elizondo directed AATIP, the government secret Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Your tax dollars hard at work. Mr. Elizondo, though, according to the AATIP, Mr. Elizondo had no responsibilities with regards to the AATIP program. That came from a Pentagon spokesperson. Oh. First, we see Go Fast, a video presented as showing an incredibly fast craft skimming low over the ocean. But if you do the very simple trigonometry, which I did too, because it's so simple, invited by the numbers on screen, it turns out to be something far above the surface and moving at a speed that matches the wind at that altitude, making it almost certainly just a balloon. Yet, the 60 Minutes host, in the erudite way that they present everything to you idiots, highly respected journalist Bill Whitaker repeats Mr. Elizondo's baseless claim that it is fast moving. Hold on. Not done. Then we have the green flashing pyramid. This is the latest of the Oh Not Again whack-a-mole videos. This one, filmed from a USN ship with a night vision camera, shows almost certainly out-of-focus navigation lights of a commercial airplane. The ship was directly under the flight path of planes flying into LAX from Hawaii. That's going to be a lot of lights. They stack them up big. Turns out, many night vision devices have triangular lens irises to control the amount of light that are let into the camera that give rise to classic bokeh effects. There's a term I know. You just twist that little thing on the end of your camera, and it makes different objects appear in different ways. Blurs them out, brings them into clarity. You can do all kinds of things with a camera lens. And so it is. It turns out the 60 Minutes report, this is telling, maybe not as thoughtful and studied. By the way, they must have been just, frankly, trying to capitalize on all the brouhaha about UFOs because they released that unsubstantiated report before the government committee decided, ain't no space aliens, ain't no manned UFOs. They are just that, unidentified flying objects. One wonders why they released that oh yeah money. Because it certainly wasn't science or scholarship. If and you perhaps have been concerned about, tempted to believe in UFOs, this is not an essential theological issue, but the Bible gives us some sense of it. The Bible leads us in a direction, and it seems clear the Bible actually backs up science. There are no such things as space aliens or UFOs. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hanks. Lewis Clemens of Columbus, Georgia, who calls himself a pastor, has refused to take responsibility for allegedly abusing and raping a former congregant or to provide a public apology on record for the alleged crimes. He instead chose to proceed with trial, and last Wednesday a jury voted in the victim's favor and sentenced the pastor to pay $500,000. The victim's attorney said in a statement that their client was not motivated by financial gain. As a matter of fact, she offered in writing to settle the lawsuit against Clemens for the sum of $0, provided that he would film a video in which he admitted to and apologized for the sexual assault. However, Clemens refused, and as a result, the matter was brought to trial. Well, a preacher from the heavily persecuted Early Rain Covenant Church in China, who has been arrested several times since March, is back in his own home, but he continues to experience persecution at the hands of Chinese authorities. The preacher was detained on March 26th and again on April 1st, but he's now been able to return home, but has been under some form of house arrest. According to International Christian Concern, authorities have chained up the door outside of his home, which leads to an elevator and staircase, and that prevents him and his family from going outside and also prohibiting any visitors from coming to see him or the family. As we tell you every day, please, please make sure you make an effort to pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. Well, a Virginia school district is back in the news. Remember, as we told you before, the Loudoun County Public Schools system has suspended and fired Tanner Cross, a gym teacher who respectfully announced his refusal to indulge in transgender pronouns during a school board meeting. Cross was placed on administrative leave after testifying before the school board meeting that he has only, quote, love for those who suffer with gender dysphoria, but he will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. Following that school board meeting, Cross was notified of his suspension, and as part of the suspension, he was restricted from the school district grounds and banned from attending school-sponsored activities. His case was quickly taken up by the Alliance Defending Freedom, which sent the district a letter notifying them that they were in violation of Cross's First Amendment rights. Loudoun County Circuit Judge also agreed, ruling that vindictive school officials had failed to show the teacher had caused a disruption and ordering for his immediate reinstatement. The school district, however, has refused and announced its intentions to appeal the case to the Virginia Supreme Court. And that same school district has been visited by a 14-year-old girl who spoke out publicly against the school board's plans to allow students to use restrooms and locker rooms that correspond with their gender identity. Jolene Grover, who is an eighth grader, attended the board meeting to oppose a proposed policy that would allow biological males who identify as female to use the girls' restrooms and locker rooms. In her appearance at the board meeting, Grover wore a shirt that read, "Women is female." And she told the board, quote, "Everyone knows what a boy is, even you. Your proposed policies are dangerous and rooted in sexism. When woke kids ask me if I was a lesbian or a trans boy because I cut my hair short, it should tell you these modern identities are superficial. You do this in the name of inclusivity while ignoring the girls who will eventually pay the price. Your policies choose boys' wants over girls' needs." Grover attended a Loudoun County school before her mom pulled her over these policies, and now she is homeschooled. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church.
He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
As long as we're annoying people, this is Wretched Radio. It is a spiritual gift we possess. Getting up your nose. That's right. We sure can be irksome, and there is perhaps no subject right now that is a little bit more tender than the subject of the shape of our planet. There is a flat earth movement. People who believe that we're sitting on a disc, that the Bible teaches that the earth is flat because it uses terminology like the four corners of the world. A globe, a circle can have four corners, therefore we live on a flat earth. Now that, the four corners of the earth, is simply a poetic way of stating the whole place. It's not to suggest there are actually four corners on the planet. It means expansive, the whole shebang. And there are other Bible verses that people use to try to support a flat earth. I would like to dive into that, courtesy of Dr. Danny Faulkner, to help us to understand what the Bible says and doesn't say about the shape of the earth, because this appears to be a pretty big growing trend amongst evangelicals. By the way, here it is. Got it right here. Hold on. Got it right here. Maybe this is why. Survey says white evangelicals and Hispanic Protestants, Mormons, most likely to believe in QAnon. This is a report. This was a study that was done. 25% of white evangelical Protestants, 26% Hispanic Protestants, 18% of Mormons said they believed the government, media, and financial worlds in the U.S. are controlled by a group of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who run a global child sex trafficking operation. Now, why is it that we evangelicals tend to be more open to conspiratorial ideas or countercultural and even some scientific ideas? It seems we have a propensity. 24% of white evangelicals, members of the Mormons, said they're willing to, quote, resort to violence in order to save our country. That is a little bit startling. Remember, Christian, we are not revolutionaries. We are gospel preachers. We have beautiful feet, not high-powered weapons. Okay, there's nothing wrong with the high-powered weapons. You kind of got the point, though, didn't you? It seems a lot of evangelicals dig in the flat earth idea. Let's dive in, courtesy of Danny Faulkner, saying a couple of false assumptions that exist. That the church historically taught that the earth is flat and that this changed 500 years ago. Is that true? Has the church always taught what some people are saying today about the shape of the earth? It's a pancake. Medieval scholar Jeffrey Burton Russell demonstrated, contrary to common misconception, the medieval church did not teach that the earth was flat. Thomas Aquinas introduced Aristotelian thought into the medieval church. Writing in the 4th century, Aristotle clearly taught that the earth was spherical. And believe me, the church gleaned a lot from Aristotle and even more from Plato. This from the history by Jeffrey Burton Russell. In the early 2nd century, 2nd century BC, the E-Man. That's right, that's what his friends called him, the E-Man. Eratosthenes. Whew. Hey, if you're one of those parents who likes to make sure that your kid gets beat up a lot in elementary school, there's a name that you could give to them. And believe me, I know whereof I speak, because Todd wasn't really a cool name. Still isn't. And I've got the scars to show it. Think about your children before you name them. This fellow, the E-Man, accurately measured the circumference of the spherical earth. That's because people back then were all stupid. he was able to do that without any sort of electronics. Claudius Ptolemy's Almagest from the early 2nd century AD provided a useful model for calculating the position of heavenly bodies. While this model was geocentric, it did not promote a flat Earth. Instead, it was based upon a spherical Earth. That's history. The predominant feeling was not that we are going to set out some ships and they're going to fall off the side of the Earth. And that brings us to Christopher Columbus. Most people today persist in the belief that at the time of Columbus, nearly everyone thought that the Earth was flat. According to the story, Columbus was one of the few people who thought the Earth was spherical. That's just not accurate. The truth is that no one told Columbus he could not reach the Far East by sailing west. Everyone knew that it was possible because everyone knew that the Earth was spherical, and that is why he was funded, because it seemed like a possibility. Let's get to the Bible, shall we? Revelation 7:1 speaks of four angels standing on the four corners of the earth and restraining the four winds of the earth. Does that prove that the earth is a square? Which, by the way, it seems to me that if there's four corners of the earth, it would have to have some sort of shape that was something symmetrical. Is it a square? Is it a rectangle? I don't know. But Revelation 1 does talk about the four corners of the earth restraining the four winds of the earth. In this verse, the number four appears three times. In each usage, the things mentioned are intimately tied together, so there is a one-to-one correspondence between each of the three groups of four. You say, are you doing numerology? No, I'm saying that the Bible does use numbers for a reason. Perhaps especially in the book of Revelation, which is apocalyptic literature, numerology is a big deal. We don't get into the wacky stuff, the ELS, the equidistant lettering system. We don't get into gematria as a way to figure out the hidden code of the Bible, but we can look at the numbers and say there's some meaning to them. We often use this nomenclature today, such as saying that the wind is out of the west. The repetition of the number four, four angels, four corners, four winds, ties each angel in each corner with one of the four compass directions. Therefore, there is no warrant to interpret these four corners literally, particularly when it does not match any cosmology. The context is language that is being used to equate things, not to give a descriptor of the shape of the planet. Do heights in the Bible teach the earth is flat? Daniel 4:11. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven and was visible to the end of the whole earth. Those folks who adhere to a flat earth position reason that on a spherical earth, it would not be possible for a tree to be visible from the entire earth. But such a tree could be visible anywhere on a flat earth. Let me read the verse again. The tree grew, became strong, its top reached heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Therefore, the earth must be flat. Context, context, and context. The fourth chapter of Daniel is the account of Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. Verse 4 directly quotes the words of Nebuchadnezzar stating that he had a dream. Verses 10 through 17 quote him describing the content of his dream. This is a dream. It is not a scientific statement. With their wild and fantastic elements, dreams hardly are statements about reality, let alone cosmology. It is remarkable, writes Dr. Faulkner, that anyone would construe the content of a pagan king's dream recording in Scripture as evidence the Bible teaches that the earth is flat. Same sort of reasoning is used to argue Matthew 4:8 teaches that Jesus that supposedly teaches a flat earth, talking about the temptation of Jesus. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. You can't see all the kingdoms on a circle, can you? However, if this mountain view of Matthew 4:8 with its view of the entire earth is literal, then where is it? Where did the devil take him? If he literally took Jesus to a mountain where he literally saw the kingdoms of the earth, where is that mountain? Those who pursue this line of reasoning have never determined the location of this hypothetical mountain. If this mountain is hypothetical, even on a flat earth, then this verse hardly constitutes proof the Bible teaches that the earth is flat. And you've got more. There's more. Just so you know, it's not like flat earthers have taken a verse. These people are not idiots. They've taken a number of verses. They want to be good Bible interpreters. And they read some language that makes it seem plausible. Maybe the planet is flat. But context reveals something different. Now, is this an essential theological issue? No, it's not. But wow, there must be a grand conspiracy to what end, I don't know, that scientists have determined, this place is circular. It's a sphere. It's a globe. It's not a pancake. What would be the reason for deceiving people? One is hard-pressed to imagine why, but as we look at the context of the Bible, we don't have to figure out the Bible in a different way to support a flat earth when the Bible teaches that God sits above the circle of the earth. This is Wretched Radio.
I wonder what Dr. John MacArthur is talking about.
If you're going to support mission training of pastors, you've got to find people who are training men biblically to be theologians, to be Bible expositors, to be shepherds of their flock, to pour their lives into their sheep. This is the biblical pattern.
Going to go out on a limb here and suggest Dr. John MacArthur is talking about one of his ministries, the Master's Academy International. Seminary graduates from the Master's Sem internationally training pastors to be expositors upholding the inerrancy of the Bible. If you've been looking for a missionary opportunity that has ripples of impact, you cannot do better than the Master's Academy International. Please learn more and potentially consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, we are grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and even your snarks. You can contact us in a couple of different ways. You can send an email to idea@wretched.org, or you can leave a beep talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Whichever way you decide to reach out to us, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you. Just like a recent email we received from Andrew, who says, I'm a 21-year-old guy who spends a lot of hours working in a recycling warehouse that doesn't have air conditioning. If not for the blessing of being able to listen to Wretched while I work 50 to 70 hours a week, it would be much harder to grow in my knowledge of Christ through the Bible. So send us your wretched stories, send us your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and even your snarks again at idea@wretched.org, or leave us a voicemail at Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You know Paul and Cindy Marty. They are the founders and the runners of the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Not only did the kids get saved.
We were in the country of Hungary, and we were meeting with our country director. His name is Zoltan. And we asked him, Zoltan, how did you come to Christ? And he said, 4 years ago, my wife and I went to a neighboring village where they had a camp. And he said, we heard the gospel and got saved. And he said, our entire village that we were living in were atheists. 4 years ago, this is. And he said, now we're the only two Christians. Our kids have become Christians, and they have a Tomorrow Club with 30 kids. Can you imagine? But there are still fully atheist villages. It's a great white harvest out there.
Indeed there is. Would you like to help with that harvest? Please consider sponsoring a Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Focus, Friel. Focus.
Survey said.
This is Wretched Radio. Not going to do it. Can't focus. Do you remember a movie that I just remembered when I was going through my stinger looking for Richard Dawson? It was called Time Travelers. Here's an idea. Boy, this one could catch on in some evangelical circles. The idea that we can travel in time. That does not seem to be scientific or biblical, nor does it ever make sense. I never watch any of those time travel movies and get it. Okay, wait. So Doc was shot, but now Marty's having babies in the future. Wait, what, wasn't he on the planet while those things were going? When is actual time? Actual time is actual time. So I don't think that there's time travel, but a movie called Time Changer. I just bumped into this. Sorry. Hey, people with ADHD need a little sensitivity on occasion. This was the story of a guy from like 1890 or 1900 who traveled forward courtesy of he was the captain. Captain Steubing. What was the name of Captain Steubing? He was the love boat captain. And he just died recently, too. Oh, wow. How quickly we forget. Gavin McLeod, I think, was the name of the fellow. He invented a time machine, sent a professor forward to live in our current context, and he went to a movie, and he sat watching this movie, unable to eat his popcorn because of what he was seeing on the screen. He runs out into the lobby where he starts yelling,
"Stop the movie! You must stop this movie! The man on the screen just blasphemed the name of the Lord! There must be some mistake! You must stop this movie! This is an abomination!"
Are you all right?
Then it goes into another scene, by the way. So that was when he was in the movie theater. "Stop it. Somebody blasphemed. This is an abomination." There were more scenes like this.
"I still cannot comprehend how they could allow a player on the movie screen to blaspheme the name of the Lord."
"It's not that big a deal, Carlisle. It's just a movie."
"Yes, but to defame the name of our Lord."
"It was a moral film. The guy went back to his wife in the end."
"Yes, but to speak so blatantly against the name of Jesus."
"Look, buddy, there's a lot worse movies we could have gone to see."
"Uh-huh. Perhaps it is better not to attend at all if this is the only selection."
"This guy must be one of those legalists who thinks all movies are sinful."
"Yes, he must be a Pharisee," would be the card we'd slap down today. Our forefathers, whew, would not have been thrilled with what we consume with our eyes pretty regularly, justifying it's not as bad as, hey, if you're looking for something really sedentary that doesn't have any foulness in it, I can't remember the name of the show, but the basic concept was Great Britain. It's house swapping or vacation swapping. You want to go to Sussex, and somebody else wants to go to Norfolk, so you just switch houses, and you stay in somebody else's domicile, so you don't have to pay for a hotel or for a B&B. It's a really cool idea, unless, of course, you're a germaphobe, and then the thought of somebody sleeping in your bed gives you a complete freak-out, sweat-drenched panic. But then you follow these couples that swap houses. It's just interesting, and it doesn't have any, because I'm telling you, it is increasingly difficult to find anything on TV these days that isn't loaded with it. It's crazy. We try watching this stuff, and it literally says 13 plus, and we think we're safe with this. No, actually, we're not. It's unbelievable, and our Christian forefathers would have been aghast at what it is that we justify. Focus, Friel. Focus.
Survey set.
Let's get to these surveys, shall we? Support for Israel among young U.S. evangelical Christians drops sharply. No surprise, that, is it? From George Barna. 700 evangelical Christians between the ages of 18 and 29. Sorry. I just didn't know we had 700 evangelical Christians between the ages of 18 and 29. I just saw a statistic that 60% of evangelicals are over 50. And the 18 to 29 demo, 11%. Now, I know, granted, I get it. Like 40% are younger than 50. I understand that, but it's diminishing as the demographics reach us. So the younger they are, the less they are likely to identify as being an evangelical Christian. And so it is. Respondents were asked where they place their support in the Israeli-Palestinian dispute. 33% said with Israel. Oofta. 24% said Palestinians. 42% said, I'm not really aware of what's going on the planet, which is flat. That often has UFO visitors from outer space. Survey said, wait a second, got to use the stinger dealy bob here. Survey says, as memberships fall, more Protestant churches shuttering than opening. Uh-oh, Lifeway Research. Not selling many books these days, but the research continues. It shows that in 2019, this is before the coronavirus business, 3,000 Protestant churches were started in the U.S. Yay? 4,500 Protestant churches closed. I'm not good at math, but something tells me going in the wrong direction. A Gallup analysis showed that in 1937, when they first measured formal membership in houses of worship, 70% of Americans had formal church membership. Membership, not regular attendership. Not when it's convenient. Not when, I guess I should go. It's Mother's Day, so better show up. Otherwise, Mom will be thinking I'm a pagan or something. 70%, this is 1937, 70% of Americans had formal church membership, and the measure remained steady for the next 60 years. Started to decline in 1998. Bill Clinton, no doubt. In 2020, formal membership in houses of worship stood at 49%. Formal memberships are a biblical, get ready, imperative.
No, there's no verse that says you have to be a member of a church.
Hold on, then how can you be disciplined? If you can't be set outside of the body, then what is church discipline about? That says some people, if they continue in sin, can be set outside of the body. That there is a thing that causes you to be separated from the brethren. If you are not formally a part of a group, you cannot be separated from them, which means not being a church member is dangerous for you. You are in, you're riding in a range that is fraught with pack animals. No. Animals that eat pack animals. I don't want to get all Western on you. After all, I'm no Jeff Corwin. I think that was his name, the Jeff Corwin. It was Gavin McLeod, right? The Love Boat Captain.
Yes.
Oh.
I looked it up.
Got that one right. He died very recently, didn't he?
May 29th.
Wow. Professing believer, the Love Boat Captain. Wonder if he ever repented of that series. I'm just wondering. I'm not questioning the man's salvation. I'm just saying, the Love Boat series. Church membership. If you are not a member of a local church, I would encourage you to become one. It is for your own good. Besides, you're going to be more committed to it. You're more likely to go, especially if you give to it. It's funny how the heart and money placement are often connected. Where you give money, that's where your heart is going to be. That's the order. It's not your heart, then I give the money. No, you give the money, and that's where your heart is going to be. Give it to your local church. Become a member. Go through it. Whatever. Some have a covenant statement. Fine by me. What's wrong with a covenant? And ask yourself this question. What might be behind your desire to not become a member? Imagine a fancy club. There's a Wingfoot. Is a fancy golf course. And somebody said to you, hey, you can become a member of Wingfoot. Hold on! There's nothing that says I need to become a member. I'm just going to drive around the grounds all the time. You go, do you understand what it is you're passing up? Same thing should be true with church membership. Survey says, at least it's not death. Oh, wait a second. It is, you'll recall, Governor Cuomo talking about the COVID business saying, hey, we've got to do all of these extraordinary things because we don't want people to die. Sure, they might be a little bummed out. Sure, they might be a little sad. Sure, they might lose their business, but it's not death. Well, except for the fact now, it's death.
girls aged 12 through 17 visiting emergency departments for suicide attempts between February and March of 2021 increased 51% compared to 2019. Now, that boys, the number went up a little bit, but especially girls, ED visits for mental health concerns or suspected child abuse. Well, at least it's not death. Also, risk factors for suicide increased in 2020 compared to 2019. Is there any place where these lonely people could go to find fellowship and become a member? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.